D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
When trial and tragedy come, where is our comfort? As we prepare for Good Friday and Easter, we'll take a look at the historical reality of the resurrection, as well as the personal impact of that event on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to this Palm Sunday edition of Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. As we prepare for Easter, we're celebrating an event that took place 2,000 years ago, and yet we argue that it remains the most important fact in the universe, a fact that every human being must reckon with. On today's program, we'll take a look at why that is so. We'll share the reasons for believing that the resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred and how it can bring hope to your own life this very day. And we'll share with you some resources that we have that will both ground you in that hope and equip you to share it with others. As we begin, we are pleased to welcome back our very good friend, Dr. Sam Lamerson, president of Knox Theological Seminary, and a colleague of the seminary's founder, our own Dr. D. James Kennedy. He joins me today to discuss the vital question of what Easter really means for us. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
Great to have you here. I think sometimes of the hymn writers that talk about the gospel and they talk about Easter in a very deeply personal way, like the stanza that goes, "You ask me how I know he lives, he lives within my heart." That's an important part of our Christian faith, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ has even broader implications, yes?
Much more. And I'm not a big fan of that hymn simply because it's pure existentialism. To say that you ask me how I know he lives, we know he lives because the text of the New Testament tells us so. We know he lives because we have evidence that he lives. We're not just saying that Jesus exists inside my heart and there was no historical event of the resurrection. Paul very clearly in 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Jesus was not resurrected, and by that he means a physical resurrection, if Jesus was not resurrected, then my preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So Jesus doesn't just, his resurrection is not just in our heart. It's in the real historical event that happened. And Jesus was a real historical person, and people touched him, and they talked to him, and they saw him after the resurrection.
So the resurrection is a historical event. And you have said that if it's not true, and the Apostle Paul said, our faith is in vain. Why is that so? If the resurrection is not, what if it was a spiritual event?
So what Paul says in that chapter, which is called the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, we look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. And he says the only reason that we can look forward to the resurrection of our bodies is because Jesus, the first fruits of the resurrection, his body was actually raised from the dead. And if his body was not raised from the dead, then we are people who are most miserable. We ought to close up the church and be done with it. If he really did raise from the dead, as the text says that he did, as the New Testament says that he did, if he really was raised from the dead by God his Father, then Christianity is true, and we ought to share that message with those that are around us.
We hear often people who say, you know, I think all religions are basically teaching the same thing. On this matter of the incarnation and the resurrection, no one else is teaching that, are they?
No one else is teaching that. And Jesus himself is quoted by the author in the Gospel of John. He's quoted as saying, no one comes to the Father except through me. You don't come to the Father in some other way. You don't come to the Father through some other God. You don't come to the Father through some other religion. Jesus is saying that there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. The resurrection is true, and as a result of that, Christianity follows from it.
So when others look at their own personal faith and say, you know, I'm just trying to do my best to make myself acceptable to God. There's a problem with that, isn't there?
There's a huge problem with that, and that is that none of us are able to make ourselves acceptable to God. We're all facing very serious problem. God has said He wants us to be holy, and we're not. None of us are. And as a result of that, we need someone to come in and take the sin for us. As I so many times heard Dr. Kennedy say, it's as if God takes our sin and He lays it onto Jesus Christ, who takes our sin for us and justifies us, makes us righteous because of what Jesus has done.
Sam, talk about what the hope of the resurrection means to a society like ours that is rent by discord and unbelief, and we see tragic events all around us like school shootings and suicide. And talk about the hope of the resurrection.
The only hope that any of us really have is the hope for our lives meaning something. And our lives will mean something only if, after death, we move on to another place. And the Bible is very clear in telling us that we can't move on to be with God because of our sin. God loves us. He wants us to be with Him, but our sin is blocking that.
Right.
So we need someone to take care of that sin for us, someone to pay the debt that we can't pay. And that's the reason that, particularly in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is seen as paying a debt for us. He goes to the store and says, "Put all of that on my account." They don't have to pay it anymore. So when we stand before God, we stand before God not as horrible sinners who have done things that we shouldn't. We stand before God as having been justified by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Sam, thanks for being here. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
And thank you for having me. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
Thank you. Though we see hopelessness and despair all around us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings hope. Hope for today and hope for eternity. Unfortunately, a secularist mindset has gained a foothold in America, and children are taught today that they are the products of blind and random chance. They have been taught that science explains all of reality, and that science has invalidated the Bible. It's no wonder that people report being less happy than ever before. But these very basic tenets of secularism are just not true. As Dr. D. James Kennedy explains in this portion of his message, Evidence for God.
Believers in the living God have always rejoiced in the fact that He has promised that He will be with us and never leave us, and that He will in fact work all things together for our good. And yet we know that through most of this century, the very idea that any God at all exists has been under a relentless attack. And so much so that this has been called the century of atheism. The pillars of secularism, atheism, and materialism are crumbling. And they're crumbling from a two-pronged attack. First of all, from the attack of the gospel as it is being proclaimed by increasing numbers of tens of millions of Christians all over the world, and increasing numbers of people are being converted to Christ in an astronomically increasing amount. And secondly, in the highest intellectual levels, there are increasing numbers of minds that are realizing that all of this materialism, all of this atheism has been dead wrong. The tide is just beginning to turn. One scientist, Dr. James Reed, in his book, God, the Atom, and the Universe, puts it this way, quote, "Science is preparing a surprise for mankind. At least it will be a surprise for those who have doubts about the Bible and its God. It will also come as a surprise for those who are laboring under the misapprehension that science has undermined the Bible. In fact, it may even shock some scientists who may be startled to find out that their newly uncovered facts or accepted theory provides still another link in the chain of evidence that is showing that the facts of the universe support the Bible's statements, including creation. He goes on to say that for years he endeavored to find support for science, for the Bible in science, unsuccessfully, under the Newtonian concepts of physics. But as you may know, that has all given way to the whole idea of quantum physics. Quantum theory, quantum mechanics has totally transformed the scientific world. And now he is discovering that true science supports the statements of the Scripture. And that is an encouraging thing, I do believe. Now, there are many other things that have shown the teleology or the purpose of the world in which we live, and some of them are more commonplace than the ones that are being discovered now that are in these very esoteric realms of particle physics and astronomy. But just consider some rather close to down-to-earth concepts, like the moon. Let me say this. If there were no moon, there'd be no you. When you watch the waves breaking on the shore, you're watching your lifeline in progress. That allows the water to be aerated, bringing air into the water, which is taken up by the plankton, which provides the basis, the ground level of the whole food chain, without which we would all die. The moon. Which just accidentally happens to be there, and just accidentally happens to be the right size in the right place, the right distance away from the Earth. Or consider, on the other hand, the matter of dust. If it weren't for dust, you wouldn't be alive. Every drop of rain contains 8 million tiny droplets within one drop. And every one of those droplets is water gathered around a tiny speck of dust. If it weren't for dust, it would never rain. And if it never rained, this whole world would turn into a Sahara Desert, and all of us would die. So, thank God, next time you dust your table, or even sneeze. And certainly I'm as allergic to it as most people, I suppose, who are allergic to it. But thank God for it. So many things. You can go on and on and on and on. It's almost endless the way God has provided this nest for His creatures, and how God maintains it and cares for it century after century, because He is a God that is working all things for our good. How marvelous indeed He is.
As you have just seen, God has carefully designed the world for you and me to live in it. As the psalmist exclaims, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." And once God created the world, He did not step back from it and let it run on its own. He is intimately involved in every facet of it, and He ultimately entered into it in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from sin and death. This is the truth Christians stake their lives upon. So how do we know it's not just some made-up story, that it's not just fake news, as the modern term puts it? Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look.
Most people that I talk to, they don't have trouble believing that a Jewish man named Jesus was crucified on a cross. But when you get to the resurrection, that's a whole different story.
I tell my students, There's over 300 verses in the New Testament on the resurrection.
When it comes to the resurrection, we of course have the most important phenomenon in the history of the world.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the focal point of history. But how can we know for sure it's an historical fact? And does it really matter if it actually took place in history?
Christianity is fundamentally dependent on historical truths. In other words, if Jesus is not resurrected from the dead, then we don't have Christianity.
And I tell people, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we're just playing church. We might as well spend our time doing something else, because the whole gospel, the whole truth of Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection.
Some historians have noted that even attempts to explain away certain embarrassing facts pays indirect homage to those facts. Consider the temple authorities having to deal with the fact that the tomb of Jesus was empty after Sunday morning.
They had an empty tomb on their hands, and the most natural explanation is the disciples stole the body. So even though they never say the tomb was empty, they say the body was stolen. Same thing, criterion of embarrassment cuts in. Where on earth did Christianity first begin? And don't simply say the Holy Land or Galilee or Judea. I want pinpoint a location. The answer would be Jerusalem. It would have been least likely that the resurrection would have been announced if the moldering body of Jesus of Nazareth were still available. I mean, imagine that scenario. Caiaphas, confronted by the apostles claiming resurrection, would say, "Oh, you poor benighted fishermen, follow me. Let's go over to the tomb, kick the stone aside, and there you see, voila." Well, they wouldn't be speaking French. There you see, behold, the moldering body of Jesus. What is this claim about a resurrection? If that had been the case, if that tomb had the body of Jesus, there wouldn't have been a Christian church on earth at all. It would have died out as some peculiar Jewish sect.
I can tell you that my 6-year investigation of the resurrection of Jesus that resulted in my doctorate and a more than 700-page book, I tried to overturn every stone that I could to a fault. And I came to the conclusion after that study that the evidence for Jesus' physical resurrection from the dead was by far the best historical explanation of the known and indisputable historical data. Dr. Michael Acona studied under Dr. Gary Habermas, who's been a professor at Liberty University for decades. Habermas has written or co-written 42 books on Jesus, half of them on the resurrection. He's developed what he calls the minimal facts approach to the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus.
Now, I sometimes call the minimal facts the lowest common denominator. If I take only those facts, this is the argument, if I take only those facts, which critical scholars will admit, I think I could build a case for the resurrection based only on that data.
Consider a few of these minimal facts. Fact one, Jesus was crucified by the Romans.
Did this man die by crucifixion? Which is conceded by virtually every skeptic who studies this area. John Dominic Crossan, a famous skeptic, says Jesus died by crucifixion, as secure as any event in world history.
Fact two, the disciples had experiences that they believed were appearances of the risen Christ.
The evidence comes in like this on many different fronts. The evidence is really good. Now, he shouldn't be walking around appearing to people if he were dead. So that, to me, it's the appearances.
Fact three, because of their insistence that they saw him risen from the dead, the disciples totally changed in disposition from being afraid to being bold and unstoppable, even in the face of severe opposition. This truth radically transformed their lives from those who cowered at Jesus' death to now those who boldly proclaim the gospel and the message of his death and resurrection and offering salvation to all, and they boldly did this to their own harm. What's a fascinating thing to observe is that we have no less than 11 sources, ancient sources, that tell us that the disciples of Jesus were willing to suffer continuously and willing to suffer to the point of dying. Fact 4. This proclamation of the resurrection was there at the very beginning of the Christian movement. It was not some later add-on. And fact 5. Two of the earliest to believe in the risen Jesus were former skeptics. Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted Christians and later became the Apostle Paul, Christianity's greatest missionary, and the formerly skeptical James.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the turning point in human history. I mean, it is the miracle of miracles. It really has changed everything.
As you have just seen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an historical fact that occurred in a specific time and place. That is enormously significant. Christianity does not merely make claims about the internal soul, it makes claims about the reality of God and the world which are binding upon everyone, whether they believe or not. But do you know these facts deep down in your own soul? Are you able to share them with others? Gospel means good news, and it is literally the proclamation of an event. Are you able to share the news of that event with others? Well, we have some resources that will help you do that. And here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The first resource is my father's classic book, Skeptics Answered. This is one of my dad's most popular books, and it encompasses what was unique about his ministry, deep theological truth presented in a memorable, easy-to-read style. Are you prepared to face the most common questions that skeptics have about the Christian faith? And do you have secure answers to those questions to strengthen your own faith? Questions like, how can there be pain and suffering in the world if God is good? Or how Jesus can be the only way to God? Hasn't science and evolution disproved the Bible? Skeptics Answered by Dr. D. James Kennedy will equip you to address these and many other common questions. And it's ideal to share with a seeker in your life. We would like to send you a copy as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we'll send you the book, Skeptics Answered, plus the special DVD program, Cross Purposes. The Apostle Paul wrote that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In a few days, we'll celebrate Good Friday, marking the day that Christ was crucified. Do you know how the cross is the power of God and why it occupies the central place in Christianity? Find out on this special DVD program, Cross Purposes. We'll send it to you along with the book, Skeptics Answered, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. And as you donate, you'll be helping us to broadcast programs like this one, preaching the gospel on the airwaves around the world. You'll also be helping us push forward on our other initiatives, like the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship. So please give generously. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
We have been told that we live in a secular culture, under a secular government. But in reality, there is no such thing. All cultures are religious. They will either worship the true God or a false one of their own making. But religion is inescapable. We see the evidence of our own culture's religion all around us, the secular religion of self and of sexual expression. It includes a blood sacrifice, which has been paid in the blood of 60 million children in the womb and counting. It includes a priesthood that zealously enforces blasphemy laws, as you will find with the speech codes and pronoun police on any college campus. And because Satan was a murderer from the beginning, none of the trappings of the secular religion of sexual license and self-fulfillment buy us the peace and satisfaction we seek. In fact, they make things far worse. The guilt and condemnation of abortion, the incredible suicide rate among transgendered people, the short average lifespan of homosexuals, the broken homes and destroyed childhoods brought by sexual lawlessness. The secular gods have delivered to us a harvest of heartbreak and death. The true solution to our search for peace and significance and satisfaction is the one offered to us on Good Friday and ratified on Easter Sunday. The solution is peace with the true Almighty Judge of the universe through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who suffered the full penalty of God's wrath and judgment for the sins of the world as the substitute for everyone who will receive his payment by faith. For you and for me, only the blood sacrifice of the Son of God, once for all, can bring peace with God, with ourselves, and with each other. The kind of peace that will transform individual lives and entire cultures. If you have not received this mercy of God by faith, stop right now and pray to Him in repentance. And let today be the day of salvation. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. And be sure to join us next week for a special Easter Sunday edition of the special program Cross Purposes. We'll see you then.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
So we're all born in sin, and therefore every one of us needs the cross to be redeemed.
The beauty of the cross is that the Lord says there is no way to the Father except through Him. And He also says to pick up the cross and follow. So there is no way around the cross.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.